Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James,
the Wonder Twins of podcasting.
Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, queer,
and ladylike. This week on Minority Corner, America is stupid.
Well, you know what? It is our Independence Day from Independence from fuckery.
Okay, I saw, if you have been watching our social medias, James created a beautiful collage.
I love clip art. It was like, how much 4th of July clip art can I put on this thing? So we are, it's a little late, but
we're clipped up.
We're clipped up and ready to go for your Independence Day shalong.
Sure.
I'm
going with it.
So what do you got cooking up for us on the grill, on the Minority Corner grill?
On the grill, I am going to be talking about two things that Americans don't like talking about. Race and climate change.
That's true. Wow. Nothing says America as ignoring things.
Avoidance.
It never happened. Slavery? What are you talking about? They were immigrants. Wow.
What about you?
Okay, well, after you get that all grilled up and sizzle hot down your gullet
hot dogs.
Hole.
Ew. I just made it not
sexy. Trying to describe things.
The barometer is sexy. Just wait.
I crossed it. Okay. Well, I was so inspired. As you know, I'm back in the Bay Area.
We're in the same room.
I'm watching her scratch her elbow.
I got some crusties on my arm.
You need some ointment?
I think it'll be all right.
I could even hand some to you.
I know.
Well, I'm going to be talking. I was so inspired by my night out in the Castro.
Ooh.
Boy, has she changed.
Okay.
So with that, I was like, someone needs to write some rules.
Okay. Who wrote some rules?
Well, I wrote some rules.
I wrote some rules.
So it's a straight guy's guide to going out to gay bars.
Ooh, I'm interested.
Yeah, since they're there, we got to...
You need some rules.
You need a pamphlet. So this is an audio pamphlet going straight into your ears. Don't say I didn't told you, because I'm telling you now.
I'm so excited.
Yes, it is Independence from fuckery.
You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Girl, it is so good to see you.
I know. Last week, we actually were, you were here too.
I was.
But we just decided not to mention it.
We were like, you know what? It's just a little behind the scenes, a little nip and a talk. You either know or you don't.
We actually have been seeing each other a lot, considering we live across the country.
We've been seeing each other for a decade.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in the same space.
Yeah. This past month has been like a lot of connection.
And there's going to be more connection because I'm going to New York.
That's right. More coming at you. Just like Cleopatra.
It's true. Whatever happened to them?
Well, I know that I can tell you this for a fact.
Yeah.
That old time Cleopatra.
Well, she's dead.
She's dead. I don't need no Wikipedia or no Nancy Drew to figure out that mystery. I can solve it myself.
But what about the young British ones with the terrible hair?
We should send out a bat signal or a Cleopatra single.
I don't even know. What would it be? Like three silhouettes of like young black girls?
Young black British girls.
Yes.
Because otherwise the American Cleopatras might be like, is that us? No.
No, get out of here, American Cleopatras.
You didn't have no song, American Cleopatras. I don't want to see you. So I don't know, but you know who would know?
Who?
Madonna.
Why Madonna?
Because you know that Madonna was their manager.
What?
You didn't know this?
No.
Okay, let's rewind the clocks and go back to a magical time.
What is this, 2000?
Maybe
99? 99. Late 90s, early 2000s.
Listen, I'm not a time travel expert.
I'm not a time lord.
So, yeah, not the lord of time, and I'm not the expert of time. So anyways, we're back in time.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, Madonna, like, she was over in England. Remember, she used to, like, be British for a bit?
Because she was married to Guy Ritchie.
And she was obsessed with young black children.
She still is.
She adopted that black
baby.
That's
been her number one obsession for her whole career.
I mean, when you're a fancy white lady, we'll do a poll.
Young black children.
They love them.
Are very exciting.
Y'all can adopt me.
We're not young or children.
Shh, we look like it.
James, you got a full beard right now.
I mature quickly. I had a mustache in high school. They won't know. I'm very
useful.
I'm very youthful.
You
on
are
the
very
inside.
Youthful.
I will fool a rich white lady.
Full of muscles and full of beards.
I'm blessed, but not that blessed. I don't need your white lady money and help. So, anyways, Madonna's over in England and she sees these three. She sees the business.
What are they busking on the street or something?
Probably.
What are they
and
doing?
She was like, I will call you Cleopatra and you will be a band.
This is so
weird. And then
weird.
She abandoned them because they didn't really go. She's not a good manager.
Oh.
She's like probably worse than P. Diddy.
I would say P. Diddy is terrible.
He's the worst manager.
Literally, Don from Danny Duquesne has been dealing with Diddy shit for forever.
For over almost a decade.
Because she was in Danny Duquesne and then she was in some Dirty Titty Money or whatever.
I was
going to
say Mo Money, Mo Problems, but that Dirty Titty Mo Money Problems. He was just sort of like pawning her out. He was her Dina Lohan.
He was, but he didn't. I mean, Dina Lohan didn't do a good job either, so.
Well, that's the trend.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Dina Lohan.
Yes, okay.
I have come out in full force. I'm coming out. Annette already knows this, but I'm coming out.
Should I act surprise?
Yes.
Okay.
Just for shits and giggles. I have something. Annette has something to tell you.
Yes.
I'm a Dina Lohan.
For who?
For everyone. I realized this week. So since I've been back in San Francisco, I hear like my friend Derek had this, he and his boyfriend just bought a house on Castro and 20th. So like.
Someone got some money.
And when they got that new house, I was like, oh my God, we've arrived.
Of course, which I'm proud of you for. I'm Dina Lohan-ing you for that.
Thank you,
I'm
Dina.
I'm like, you get in that house and claim
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Anytime one of my friends, I'm like, we have made it.
I know.
It takes a village, okay? And then he did like this full waffle bar, like brunch
what?
Thing, and made homemade jam.
Was
all
this
things.
Past week?
It was on Saturday, so it was
you
this past
fucking
weekend.
Fucking lucky ass! That's amazing.
I just came back, and they had like you know all the gays over, whatever.
That sounds. And it was a beautiful day.
It was amazing, and so of course, all I see, I said, Derek, you're a giant dollar sign to me. All I see is if you remember that episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel Air when he realized that Ashley could sing,
yeah, and she was
and
just like
just
a dollar
sign with some headphones yeah. on it. That if any of my friends, I find out you've got a talent or a dream or a skill or a desire, where's the business? You become
a giant
dollar sign.
I know this.
I'm still trying. Aneke's like, she's really good at doing hair. And
I know. You're like, we're going to get you
a YouTube channel. We're going to get some subscribers. You're going to write a book. You're going to have a TV show. I'm going to call up QVC and see what we can do.
I mean, you are very supportive. But you are sneaky supportive, though, because I'll always remember when you lived out here, you would be like, hey, do you want to go see a show? And then we'd go see a show, and it would be a black lady lead. And you'd be like, what did you think about that?
And during the show,
Do you remember acting?
And I'm watching Aneke the entire, I'm not even watching the show. I'm just watching her just like, you see this? This could be you.
I know. You're very supportive.
I am. Well, okay. So then when I was at a family barbecue.
Okay.
Let's talk about 4th of July.
Yeah. 4th of July just came and went.
It just came and went. She's like a breeze.
She is.
Blink and you'll miss her.
I mean, I can go to the park and celebrate whenever I want. It's just called summertime.
Well, you are summertime Aneke.
It is.
She came at a weird time. She was like, hey, it's Tuesday.
I know.
And like, I feel like most people didn't know whether to work on Monday.
Right.
And people were all over the place on the board. Some were working Wednesday. Some took the whole week off.
My husband took 5 days off, which was luxurious.
So he did Friday through. He did a little mini 4th of July weekend.
He did Friday through Tuesday.
A 4th of July vacay.
I am not mad at that.
You know what? Do your thing.
It's what the forefathers would have wanted.
Yes. Well, they certainly don't. We work more than any other.
They weren't working that much.
No,
they had slaves.
That's very true. So everybody take that day. I'll take that week off. But like, as you can watch, watch the Michael Moore documentary.
Which one?
What Country to Invade Next. It's on Hulu.
Oh.
And there's so many like great ideas. And he invades European countries.
Mm-hmm.
And he steals the best ideas from them.
Oh, my God.
And then you find out in the end that all of these ideas were actually American ideas and principles. And, like, about, like...
Really?
About working so much, like, labor laws and, like, all kinds of stuff that, like... These countries that have such a lot of vacation and paid maternity leave and just medical coverage and not crazy prison systems, like all of these ideas that came from the States.
But then we were like, no, we
Fuck
don't.
That.
We're like, we thought of it, but that was stupid.
It's
we're not going to do it.
Shit.
Ugh, capitalism.
Speaking of capitalism, business.
Okay.
I'm Dina Lohan.
I know what's going on. We're
so
jumping around.
My cousin was like, he was made
family barbecue.
Family barbecue.
Okay.
Go see the cousins.
Yeah.
I'm like, who made this cake? And one of my cousins raised his hand. I'm like, okay, here's what we're going to do.
No!
And then I found out that his brother made this delicious, like, barbecue sauce. He was just grilling
up right now.
These beans. And I was
Brother's
just,
restaurant.
And there are three of them.
Oh, even better. People like a, something, like a three.
A three. A two, it's like, okay, it seems a little. But three brothers?
People are like, sign me up. So this is cute.
The Three Brothers restaurant.
Cleopatra was three.
See? Oh, yes. See, the power of three. See, I got it. Do some charm shit on you. So then I found out so I have a million, my stepbrother has like a million kids.
Okay.
And just more and more coming out the pipeline.
All right.
Someone had to point out to me which one was who, the names of who, and
you
who
know,
was who, what the year was of who.
Sure.
And the uncles in New York. But then someone dawned on me. They're like, man, if one of them can sing, bing!
Yeah.
And it just takes one. I just need one of them to be able to sing a little, and they can be the front person.
Please don't tell me you were testing them. Were you like, can you
send
me a couple
bars? I'm a Joe Jackson this shit. Don't let So, me. No, follow along. Me. Okay. Yep,
not you.
Not you. Next.
Where's your brother?
And I just need one of them to carry it in millions. And they'll have a good life, too.
Look at you!
You
gotta sell it better than that.
Kids love the limelight.
You gotta be like, it's gonna be beautiful for both of us.
For everybody wins.
Yes, you're gonna get they're gonna have a good life, too.
Everybody's gonna
win.
Like
it's terrible.
Okay, well, you know, we'll work on the pitch, okay? So anyways.
It sounded like you had a good-ass 4th of July weekend.
What did you
weekend.
Do?
What did I do? I went to Amador City, which is gold country.
That sounds fancy. You had a weekend getaway with your boo.
I did.
Tell
up in gold country.
Were you digging for gold?
No, but we walked around like a bunch of creeks and looked in there. It was nice. But this is not an exciting story. We just basically walked around an old timey, like, you know, prospector town. We sat in a hot tub.
It sounds like a place where you also go to solve a mystery. It sounds
it
very Scooby-Doo-ish
very,
to me.
Yeah, and there was a lot. Everybody was, okay, so this is a good story.
Here we go.
Because there's not a lot of black people in.
I was going to ask about, like, so
there's
how was that?
No
and this interracial
people.
Couple.
Yeah.
And people always think, like, California, like, you know.
Oh, no, you go outside the Bay Area, that shit is racist.
Yep. Run your ass to L.A.
No.
And then even then,
it
LA
is a
is still
fast
racist.
Drive. Yeah. San Diego's right around the corner. That shit's conservative.
Whoa. And don't go up to that OC because they love a little racism.
They do. Okay, so we were in this town, and I at this point, I'm just like, I don't give a fuck. I'm walking around.
Just
I got
your
fucking
best life.
Natural ass hair.
Yes.
I'm living my life like it's golden.
Mm.
We're walking around town, and then I'm like, I want some coffee. So we go into this cute little boutique-y place.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the crazy part. Everybody was crazy nice to me.
Oh.
Andrew was outside with the dog. And there's the two things. When you're a black person, you can either get the cold shoulder from people because white people be racist.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could get the very friendly reception because white people be curious.
Yeah. And they're like, I'm going to prove to everybody I'm not a racist. I'm going to be hella nice to this black person.
And it was intense, James.
Yeah.
I walk into this coffee shop. First, I'm walking by, and then there's a line. And I walk out, and I go, Andrew, there's a line. I don't want to stand in that line.
Did everybody part the sea? And they're like, a nice black lady's here.
Three people stood
up.
And
face.
They were like, wait, no, ma'am. It goes fast. It goes really fast. You should just try it anyways. It's delicious. It will go fast. Just enjoy yourself. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
So I go in, I'm standing in line, and they have one of those self-fill coffee things.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm filling the two coffee things, and one runs out. And the guy in front of me turns around and goes, oh my God, I'll go ask them to refill it for you. I'll go ask them. You know what? I'll go ask them. I was like, there's another coffee pot right here. I'll just get the coffee from here. And he was like, oh, okay, suit yourself.
Wow.
I know. It was crazy. And then there's all these old white ladies smiling at me.
And no one dropped the N-word.
No,
not
I think
even
it's
if the hip hop song came on.
I have to say this,
okay.
And a lot of our
Did
listeners.
Did the hip hop song come on?
No.
Like you were saying,
there was
nigga way too much.
It was a lot.
Okay.
So this is, I gotta be truthful, and this just came up because I read an article that Janet Mock wrote about.
Oh, love me some Janet Mock.
Yeah, and I have to say, I might lose some of my listeners.
It's okay. Speak your mind, speak your truth. This is a place for you to, this is a safe space for you and Eke to voice your mind.
There's a thing called pretty privilege.
Oh, right, yeah.
And Janet Mock talks about how her acceptance into society and all of that comes with the fact that she's pretty.
She is pretty.
And I have to say, I think I look interesting and I'm generally...
You're sexy as all fuck.
I'm not sexy. I'm just, you know, symmetrical.
Gorgeous.
And I've got a symmetrical
that
face.
Is true. But you know what? There's also, I'm going to say this though, too. There's also just something I think intrinsically human, natural, like it's sort of like... People, we were built to sort of for safety and, yeah. And mating, and to a degree. And so it's like people, like peacocks, like, you know, yeah. Like you get attracted to like pretty things. I'm not saying, I'm not justifying it.
No, we're not. So it's a like, privilege, it just like how there's white privilege, straight privilege, yeah, all of that.
Absolutely.
There's attractive privilege.
And so there's sort of like an awareness, mm-hmm. just about that. And for even people to be like, oh, am I treating this person because they're gorgeous? And there's a sort of a survival right. instinct of, even if I don't want to make babies with this person,
it's but you're still, just, oh, it's aesthetically pleasing, it's, so I'm gonna be nice to this person.
It's a thing that just sort of happens, so it's something to just be aware about.
And I think I'm sure you experience that too.
Stop
because
it.
Both of us, I will, just to be completely frank and honest, we're both very, we're not ugly. We're
I
very,
don't have a face for radio.
But yet here we remain.
But it's better this way. I don't have to wear pants or gel my hair or anything.
And it's one of those unspoken things that people don't like to talk about because it's uncomfortable and you need to be humble. But I think just because on this podcast we talk about privileges.
It's true.
And we need check to accept your privilege. And check your privilege and understand it.
I love it. People are going to love. People just love me. I got to check my pretty privilege.
I know.
Oh,
but
God.
But I think that, and I have to say, I think that's the reason why people were so nice to me at this place.
So if you were like, but sure, because like, remember what happened in Beauty and the Beast?
That's the called cartoon. Stockholm Wait, Syndrome.
No, in the very beginning, the first 5 minutes.
Okay.
When that old beggar lady showed up to the door, he was like, oh. Get the fuck out of here, old beggar lady. Ew, go fuck yourself. Something to those, like, lines. Disney had a lot of bleep. They had to bleep out a lot of stuff.
It was a raw moment. It was very deaf comedy.
I did the voiceover for it in the cartoon for his opening.
Get the fuck out of here.
Bitch, get the fuck out of here, you haggard asshole. And so it's a lot of beep, beep, beep. And then she was pretty, and he was like, oh, damn, I done fucked up.
See? But and it's fucked up.
Had she shown up in the beginning like that, she could have gotten whatever she wanted.
Don't victim blame the hag lady.
She had a choice.
She had a choice
of how she was showing up.
I was haggardy this morning. I mean.
And you didn't show up to my door, did you? Because no, I would have been like, uh-uh.
Well, so this morning I had a fire inspector show up at the door.
Because they were like, it is too hot in here.
No, they were like, your trees are growing a little bit too far
you
over your.
Catch a fire. Yeah.
So they like knock on the door. I ignore it. I'm like, fuck this. Maybe it's a package. And so I wait. Until hopefully UPS is gone to go get the package. I'm in a robe and a headscarf.
Ooh.
And I have a pit bull Rottweiler dog named Zelda.
She sometimes snubs me. Sometimes she's does. Like, I'm into you. And then she's like, I'm not. I can't
she's
win with
her.
She's
very anxious and she's a little weird.
She's a hard to get bitch. And but, I can say that because she's a female dog. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
But just to really quickly sum up, it was the most Oakland moment I ever had in my life because I open up the door, I'm clutching my robe, I have my headscarf on, there's the fireman out there, and I go, oh, hello. And then he's like, I need to talk to you about your stuff. I have to go out there, boobs jiggle-jangling around, mm-hmm. and my dog, my Rottweiler Oakland dog, barking at him the whole time. He was not nice to me.
Yeah. you gussied it up, the situation.
I didn't have enough time.
That is interesting. I mean, it's an interesting thing that happens, and I think it also is something that I think it's a tool mm-hmm. that folks can use, and mm-hmm. we use it sometimes in our interview.
Oh,
we try to look our best, you know, for dates. We try to look our best, like
right.
it's a survival technique. So use it to your advantage, I guess.
It's true,
and to also be aware of
if
am
you're
I
giving,
being nicer to someone because
right.
they're prettier as
exactly.
well. To sort of be aware of that.
Check that privilege.
Check it as well. What's our time? Do I have time to talk about Shea Coulee?
Let's talk about Shea Coulee.
We can save it for later.
You
can also edit
it.
All of this conversation
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
And no, she won't. Sausage is made. This is it. So,
let's talk about Shea Coulee.
Okay.
Okay, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yes, RuPaul's Drag Race. So, when I got back here to San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
I went to go see I used to do shows at Club Oasis.
I know.
Ever in San Francisco.
They don't know, but I know.
yeah. Pretend like you don't. Be like, what is this information?
What? I've never
so
been
this
there.
This club called SF Oasis. I used to do a lot of shows there.
You were on the guest list.
I've been on the lifetime, long time guest list.
First thing James tells me.
It's one of the places that, like, I am a mini celebrity in
People
that.
Love
world.
You there.
It's like, you know, and got off to New York and no one knows who the fuck I am. But here, hey. Someone's like, were you in the Facts of Life or were you in Shit and Champagne?
Why, like,
yes, sir, I was.
Because it's called Small Pond, Big Fish.
That was me.
Yeah.
So I go to, they're doing a Sex and the City, a drag version.
Yes.
Darcy Drollinger is directing the Sex and the City.
I saw your pictures on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You were really working that sex eye in those pictures.
Well, you gotta give it to the camera. Gotta work that pretty privilege. pretty privilege. I feel like that should be my next album.
Oh, pretty privilege.
Pretty privilege. I get what I want. I get what I want.
Cause I'm pretty.
Life is so hard when you're pretty.
But not really.
We get it.
Privilege.
Don't treat me differently.
I'm we still lost a human inside. Like 50 listeners. But whatever.
It was bound to happen eventually. We're just letting our hair down. This is episode 80 what?
I don't know.
And so letting our hair down. This is us.
Mm-hmm.
This is me. And that's our next single.
This is us. This is me.
Okay. So I was on the guest list to go to the Sex and the City show.
Yeah.
And then it's full. I just kind of show up. I talk to the Darcy who's directing the show and he's like, oh, I'm going to get you on the list.
Nice.
And I show up and I don't have a seat, and the only seat really left is that, and it's cabaret table style. So
yes.
There's tables and the only seat left was at Chez Coulee's table in the very front and center.
Stop it, Chez Coulee was there?
I have a caveat to say.
Oh.
I listened to RuPaul's podcast with Michelle Visage.
What's the tea?
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I do not watch RuPaul's Drag Race, so I have no idea who these queens are. Only reason I knew Chez Coulee was because a friend of mine, and I can shake your head so bad.
I'm having a rough time right now with this.
I felt so bad because my friend was just texting me the other day because she was going to perform at the drag show Mother that they have on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I'm going to go see Chez Coulee. And I'm assuming that's a drag queen of sorts.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we'll sit him next to Chez Coulee. And I sat next to her and struck up a conversation with her.
You talked to Chez Coulee?
No idea who she is, and I can't even get excited about it. Because I don't know who she is.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow, we're really doing a 1-2 punch with our pretty privilege, and you just casually talking to celebrities.
Don't know who she is. She introduced herself to as her real actual name.
Yeah.
I won't say it in case, unless she wants
to. They said it on the show, but I forget.
Oh, so she was I'm Jerry or whatnot.
Yeah.
And she was there with her boo or friend or something. We were just talking about just stuff. We talked about Chicago because you and I went to Chicago for the Chicago podcast.
Did you bring up the
festival.
Podcast to Chez Coulee?
I did. I said I was in Chicago for a Chicago podcasting festival to do a live show from our podcast.
Why didn't you? You know I watch RuPaul's Drag Race. Why didn't you go Chez Coulee and give me some facts? Because then I would have been like, here's the thing that you need to say to Chez Coulee.
Mm.
You should have won. Even though I love Sasha Velour, who's the queen that won, and I do love Sasha Velour, but Chez Coulee was the front runner that everybody got a fucking standing ovation.
Wow.
Ovation when she got eliminated.
Wow.
So, and released 3 videos.
Amazing.
It
seems very nice and incredibly talented. It just, I feel like, again, lost on me. Everything you're saying to me, I'm just like, uh-huh.
You're
describing an alien to me. I just don't understand. I don't know.
She's very nice.
She's incredibly nice. I will not say she was the Jayla to my Mariah Carey because that's mean and fucked up.
Okay, good.
Wow,
how fun.
Small world. Very nice. Super talented.
Yeah, very talented.
Yeah.
Naomi Campbell is the inspiration for the look.
Oh, damn. Mm-hmm. Well, she was working it. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. It's a little
I
rubbing
love that.
Shoulders.
I know. You
the
and your
only
like
table
Bruce,
left.
Or,
it was literally
what was
front
it?
Row and center.
No, Brooke. Brooke Shields, you saw
Brooke
too.
Shields.
Who else did you see?
What's that lady, Deborah?
Winger. No.
Messing. Yeah.
But you were excited about Deborah Messing.
I was, but that was a month ago. I mean, you're only as...
Get out of my
She's
face!
Very nice. I will say, I'm on her email list of the government is fucked up, donate, or those fight back things. But it's so different, having met Deborah.
Yeah.
It's like...
Do you respond back?
Deborah. Hey, girl.
You're like, hey, what else are you going?
Exactly.
What is you into?
What else? What else? Yeah. All right, shall we get
Let's
into this thing?
Let's get
What's on the grill next? It's you.
Race and climate change.
Race and climate change. Hoo hoo. Smack it, flip it, rub it down. Uh-oh, Aneka got a corner.
I do.
Corner, baby.
It is my corner.
Do you remember that, smack
yeah, that
it,
was
flip
like
it, rub
Belle
it
Biv,
down.
Was
uh-oh,
that,
was, or Bobby Brown?
Well, Bobby Brown and Belle Biv DeVoe were in New Edition together.
Was that a New Edition song? Do Me Baby.
Do me baby. Bobby Brown.
Because it's nasty. Because it's nasty.
Because it's nasty.
But, Belle Biv DeVoe, there are no saints either.
No.
I told you that the fucked up thing, shit you can get away with, it's interesting, shit that you can get away with now,
what
that
do you
back
mean?
Then. That Poison song.
Yeah, what about it?
Was about HIV.
What? I didn't know that.
Never trust a big butt and a smile, that girl is poison.
Ew, I don't like that. That's rude. That ruins the song for me. I thought it was just that she was a.
How do you know? Me and the crew used to do it. Also the worst song to request at a wedding, but the best song to request at the wedding.
What
my
that? Right, no, it's like...
My brother's getting married this weekend. Just get ready.
I mean...
Never trust a big butt and a smile. That girl... I'm just kidding. I love her, so I won't do that. But I'll go to someone else's wedding that I'm not that close with and just be like, this is for y'all.
I'm glad you didn't do that at my wedding.
Yeah.
Did we play it at my wedding?
I tried to request it. Never trust a big butt and a smile. That girl is...
I don't even know. Okay. Getting into a serious conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's... Oh, I forgot. Oh, I didn't... We're recording. That we're just dabbing. Okay, let's serious
different when we're in the same room. Okay, so race and climate change.
Yep.
So they're connected.
How?
Well, okay, so a study was released June 29th. What was that, a couple days ago?
Just a few days ago.
Yeah.
Not even a full week.
So basically, the whole study was about climate change. It had 12 authors. Some of them were from UC Berkeley. Some of them were from Princeton University. So
legit ass places.
Big wigs. Mm-hmm. It was published in the Journal of Science, which I can attest to as a librarian.
So this is like checked and a valid source for information.
Exactly. So this is legit information. So it's basically talking about how climate change is going to impact the United States. And so they investigated the different economic gains and losses states will happen, what will happen to states between the years of 2088 to 2099.
Okay.
So it sounds like future time.
It does. It sounds like a, will I even be alive then?
Well, what is it? 2017. So what is that?
I'm not 70 a
years? 70 years.
I can make it.
Yeah. So
I can stick around.
I will probably be dead.
Okay.
I will probably be very old. Freshly dead.
I mean, they're making modern advancements. I won't let it. I'll still be doing this goddamn podcast. I will somehow record a bunch of episodes, so you'll still live on. Or I'll just like re-edit and repurpose like your voice.
You are not that much younger than me.
Well, I mean,
at that point, we'll both be very old.
Well, okay.
If we're still alive, we'll be in our hundreds.
True, but I'll have millions of dollars to keep us both alive.
Okay, cool.
You're not taking this business away from me, and like, I need this. I need this.
Okay, so, but, I mean, in those terms, this is literally the next generation. Our kids will be facing this shit.
Absolutely.
They'll probably be old, too. But anyways, so basically, obviously, what one of the big results from this study was that climate change is going to impact the United States differently.
Hmm.
Like, each state, each area... is going to change the country in different ways.
Some parts will be under the sea. Like, Las Vegas will be a beach.
Basically.
Right? Because the water will be so far inland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Modesto's going to be a nice coastal town.
Get that property now, y'all. Beachfront property at half the price.
Okay, so they researched and analyzed crime... labor, damage value, and what is going to happen when the temperature is rising.
Gotcha.
So this basically says that this translated to 1.2% loss in gross domestic product per every Celsius degree increase.
Wow.
Yeah, on average. So basically that means that there's going to be a loss in gross domestic product, which is crops and different things that are
things
produced.
That will make us money and make your country essentially valuable, right?
Exactly. So 1.2% is going to go down in loss for things that we make when every degree in Celsius goes up.
Crazy. I think that's going to, I mean, that's not like 1.2%. I feel like to me, I'm not an economist. I'm not a bill collector. I'm not, you know, money man. I'm not Money Man Jones working for Wall Street.
You're not. But you could.
I have a suspicion that even that one slight change is going to drastically affect America's place as this, like, empire. Like, a 1.2% shift and change?
But that's for every degree.
Oh,
so we're,
right.
I mean, just one degree is like, who gives a fuck? But, like, and change.
Yeah.
So we will be changing several degrees.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so basically they said that, states will benefit from climate change as they are. So the states that will benefit are the states that are typically brisk in temperature.
Okay.
Whereas warmer states that, you know, hot states are going to, things are going to go really bad.
So like Arizona, Texas, Florida.
Florida.
I mean, even if
Florida's going to be the first to be underwater.
It's going
to
be underwater. So, yeah. I mean, 49 states. Okay.
So let's think about, but let's like just California? Think about though. No, let's think about a brisk state. Minnesota, okay. Wisconsin, okay. Montana, Colorado. What do these states have in common?
They're hella white folks?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They win again.
So the hot
they
states.
Win again.
Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Arizona.
Texas as well, which
Texas.
Was, you know, there's a lot of, I mean, in
a lot
those
of
places,
people of color.
A lot of POCs in those states.
Mm-hmm. So basically,
damn.
Yeah. Okay, so moving on. So basically, they kind of sum it up by saying it doesn't look at how migration patterns are going to change, because obviously, if temperatures are increasing, things are getting hotter, people are going to move. So we don't know what the shift is going to be like. But at the same time, if you are a lower income, it's going to be harder for you to move.
True. I wonder if it'll be similar to something that will happen in the 70s. That a lot of POCs started moving into cities in that time period. And then you had white flight because white folks were like, too many POCs.
I'm
and they
sure.
left. So, but I wonder where those white people will go, or will it just be harder to get access and to find living accommodations there?
Yeah.
But it's also this thing that I feel like no one really turns away, like, work. Like, if there's people who are willing to come there to
work,
like, those states and cities are going to benefit.
Right. It's really interesting to think because especially if we're thinking about climate change, water levels are going to be rising. So the shape of the country is going to be different too.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially there might be fewer spots to fly to.
I mean, I've been saying this for a while.
To. Yeah.
I've been saying this, and maybe you and I should get in on this now. Do some fundraising.
On the ground floor.
On the ground floor. I say buy property in Detroit now. I think Detroit in the next, like, 30 years is going to be rival. It'll be like a New York City type space.
It's already getting, it has the hip. Buy-in
like
already.
Like a new tech company is going in there because it's so much, it's cheaper and more affordable. And then it's going to have, potentially, with global warming, ideal weather.
Right. You never, hey. Okay, so here are three main takeaways from the study.
Okay.
So we've already kind of talked about the general sense of what's happening, but they were able to pinpoint some things that will probably happen.
Okay.
So
predictions.
Yeah. So fewer cold
That's so ravening. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Last one. So they that's so ravened this.
Yes.
Sorry I was late with that
but
one.
Not but not even, but like with, she just had the site. This is called data.
Okay. Just to put a little side pin, so we all know That's a Raven is coming back.
It's already back,
oh,
I think.
It?
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's already on.
And only one of the kids has the site.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up.
Because if you're the other kid, you're just like, but wait a minute.
Yeah.
Now, my other theory is, like, is this how the show goes? Because That's a Raven's like, uh-oh, my daughter's going to do this thing. And then the daughter's like, uh-oh, mom's going to find out that I'm going to do this thing. And so it's them just, like,
just a
having
loop.
A vision off.
Maybe.
Like, I see what you're going to do.
You know my takeaway from it?
What?
I'm glad I'm only child, because I feel like there's always one special child and one not so special child.
What's you trying to say? I have an older brother.
I always know that I'm the special one.
That's
there's
true.
No question.
There's never a question.
No
They're
question.
Just like, that's that girl. Not like, that's our girl and that's our other child too.
One has a sight,
one
doesn't. But she can sing.
But she gets good grades sometimes. I mean, sometimes she struggles and sometimes she knows she gets real lost.
But you
and
know
she
she's
that.
Doing her best.
She has that gas problem, but she's doing her best. I love both my babies.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so three main takeaways from the study about race and climate change.
Yeah.
So fewer cold-related deaths will hit the northern states as they warm. Obviously, we were
Yay,
talking about that.
Yay, that's good.
Already hot southern states, in contrast, will have more deaths.
Okay. Give a little, take a little.
Yeah. Maps in the analysis show increases of 40 to 80 deaths per 100,000 in the southeast, while deaths in the northeast will increase by roughly 20 to 60 per 100,000.
So you're going to get more deaths in the northeast.
No, more deaths in the southeast.
Oh, in the southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All
40 right. to 80.
Damn. Okay.
Versus 20 to 60.
Okay.
The study determines that if temperatures increase past 2.5 degrees Celsius, the U.S. will experience excess mortality from the changes in agriculture production and labor supply sector, largely made up of Latinx immigrant farmers who are paid some of the lowest wages in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's from the U.S. State's Department of Agriculture. So basically, they are saying where all the agriculture is happening in the southern states,
mm-hmm.
where mostly Latinx immigrants are working, already getting paid shit amount.
They traded black for brown.
They're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
More.
Yeah.
More deaths
more.
Related to that.
Which sucks. I mean, I feel like there's already such little protections for these folks who are here. You know, even just like notifying their families. And it's just, it's a lot of, it's a whole grandness of fucked upness.
Exactly. It's a fuckery. Okay, so economic loss will be greater where many people of color live, the South and the Midwest.
Okay.
So Northern and Western will see fewer losses or even benefits, as noted above. The same does not hold true for the Midwest or the South. So the South is basically, as we know, is home to the poorest black folks in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the Midwest is too. I mean, I didn't know that. But apparently the Midwest is where the majority, there's a large population of poor black folks, and then also there's a large population of poor Native American families.
Okay.
In the South, people have already felt that these impacts will look like $1 billion plus hurricanes from which the federal government won't help states rebuild. So already climate change is going on with that because temperatures increase, more action in the water happens, hurricanes, typhoons, all of that shit happens as well.
And in places like in Louisiana, I think they're still not as prepared as they really need to be for any sort of, you know, disaster that happens.
Exactly.
It's literally like a third world country down there.
It's so true. And in the Midwest, they don't have hurricanes, but they also, they experience
tornadoes.
Flooding
okay.
and wildfires.
Oh, shit.
And that shit's going to increase, too, mm-hmm. when things are drying out. So, basically, they're saying that a lot of the land is going to get fucked up.
Right.
In the places where poor people live already.
Yeah.
Which we saw with Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to me because it seems to me that, I mean, this is the government's job. The reason why we have governments and communities is to protect each other.
Right.
And to be able to survive and live. And
exactly.
So if things are changing, it's the government's job to find ways to protect the entirety of the community. Same thing
right.
going back to like when AIDS was happening, it was Ronald Reagan's job
right.
to say, wow, thousands of Americans are dying. We need to step up and find some sort of a cure or something. And in this case, you have folks in your country who are paying taxes.
Yeah.
Who are paying to buy into this system of protection. It's the government's job to shift and change that. And it's also like, we're going to be losing money.
Right.
So it's like, you know, when we lose New Orleans, mm-hmm. we lose a city, we lose the money that it's able to produce.
Yes.
So it's like, put in the money now to protect these things.
You would think.
Because we're going to lose money, we're going to lose crops, we're going to lose the things that we're able to produce.
Workforce.
People.
People, restaurants, you know, all the stuff that helps create a society. Rich people aren't understanding, rich government officials who want to retain their own money aren't understanding that if poor people suffer, they will eventually suffer too as well. It will break down into madness.
It sucks that you even have to like dangle a dollar in front of them to just be like, hey, can you help me? The fact that like I'm saying like, hey,
compassion,
I'm gonna die.
I know.
If you don't do something,
they don't give a fuck about that.
Enough, but you have to. I think you will. I think this is the strongest argument for climate change is to say, hey, we're gonna lose a lot of our goods that we produce.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like then they'll be like, well, what? Oh, okay. I don't want to
exactly.
lose that.
I know, and
which
that's
is dumb.
That's the third thing that's on this list is that because of all of the damage that's going to be happening, the poor getting poorer, the rich being fine. Income inequality is going to increase even more.
Interesting.
So that's one of the things. So the other article that I wanted to get into really quickly is Black and Latina moms are the most concerned with climate change.
Mm.
Which is super obvious because they're the ones who are seeing the biggest change mm-hmm. in our understanding of this.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, there was a poll that was released on June 29th, same day.
Oh,
June,
wow.
Everything
that
was
a
happening.
Big day. June 29th
was
like
Climate Day.
Climate Day. Hello, climate. Things are getting fucked up.
So Public Policy Polling conducted a poll and surveyed 804 mothers and grandmothers from the U.S., from June 21st through the 22nd. Of those, 13% were Black, 7% were Latinx, and 5% were other races. But the numbers show that these moms had the strongest sentiments about the global man-made catastrophe.
Mm.
So basically, the survey found that 87% of Latinas, 84% of Black mothers agree with the statement, we are not doing enough as a nation to protect clean air and clean water for your children and grandchildren in the coming years and decades. That number was 71% for white mothers and grandmothers.
Interesting. Because mm-hmm. they have clean water all the time. I mean, hello, Flint, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Still not fixed.
Not fixed. People are drinking lead. 91% agree of Latinas. Agree that it's time to stop playing politics and get the job done when it comes to climate change, clean air, and clean water. 85% of Black women agree with that statement, and 75% of white women agree with that statement. So I think it's clear that people who are already in that standpoint where they can see that the water's starting to boil around them are understanding that we need to do something. Whereas those who are in a better situation, don't need to think about it, aren't doing anything. But we have to also realize the people who aren't doing anything or thinking that we need to do something are in the position to be able to do stuff, to actually influence legislation, to give money to different organizations.
True, yeah.
And from a personal standpoint, as a woman who lives on a corner street, I'm sick of people fucking dumping trash out of their car windows.
This is a PSA.
Can we stop doing that?
And not just in front of your houses, but all the time.
Yes! I'm just sick of people littering. I don't know. Maybe it's because I grew up in the 90s when people, there was like
recycle, reduce, reuse.
And close the loop.
Yeah. Never forget.
I feel terrible dropping anything on the floor. Yeah.
I mean, being called a litter bug was one of the worst insults you could be called as a child. No, it was like litter bug and then underneath that like nose picker. Or,
yeah.
You know, it was litter bug was the worst. Don't want to be a litter bug.
I don't understand why people feel like it's okay to do that.
I find that too. And like, also like, it's interesting to come back. I've been playing this game. It's a terrible game.
Okay.
But which city is dirtier? New York City or San Francisco? And I think I'm going to give it to New York on this one. It's
they do have Pizza Rat over there.
Oh my God. Like, but there's like, at least there's a sort of like, you can, it's easier to recycle somewhat over here in California in the Bay Area. They still do plastic bags over in New York. Like, and they'll like, you buy a pack of gum, they already double bagged it. They like double bagged
it. Get out of here!
Everything.
Here they're like 10 cents.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like, you know what? I can carry this fucking gum.
Yeah.
You know? And you just see these sort of like, yeah, I feel the same way. Like, I can't even let a bottle, I have to throw it away.
Gotta throw it out.
And it's like the least I can kind of do. I have a question for you. Do you think, and I kind of go back and forth on this, and I had a theory, but I don't think it's true.
Okay.
Part of me was thinking that perhaps Blacks and Latinas were more concerned with climate change because maybe culturally there's more of a connection and appreciation for the earth from where their cultures come from.
Hmm.
But then I remembered my family at the barbecue this weekend. My dad just bought one of those electric fly swatter thingies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big sport in a game of like, let's kill the flies.
Yeah.
And so there wasn't that connection to earth.
I don't think so. Okay. I think that's like magical thinking where we're like,
ooh,
you know, like Enya's playing in the background.
Because it's not
when,
true.
I mean, I live in Oakland and half the people that are throwing shit out of their car are black people.
Some POCs. Because also the same thing too, I live in West Harlem and like it was like trash all over the place. And you know, it's a lot of black and brown folks over there too.
It's an interesting thing that I don't know if like these mothers that were questioned, if they connect, you know, the dots on that.
Yeah.
Because granted, littering is just very, very tiny, 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 tiny in the scope of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is big corporations, coal, all of the terrible things that are really contributing to it, car, all of that. But I do feel like if you are cognizant to the fact that you aren't littering, you're more likely to like donate to causes about climate change.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like it's something that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
We need to not listen to our administration, which doesn't want to deal with it and is working to make it even worse by allowing drilling up in like the north again. We need to really understand that things are finite here on this planet.
Yeah.
And we need to stretch it out as long as we can.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to live in fucking water world. I don't got the equipment to grow gills.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to fix this shit.
It's true. I think it's probably because it's because it's so not immediate.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for, I think, greedy ass money grubbing people to even think about it. And they also probably know that they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
When these things, and they're like fucking like ivory towers, that they're going to be okay.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm not like justifying it at all.
If we happen to have Mr. Monopoly listening to the podcast right now, go take a trip to China.
Mm-hmm.
Where there are hella rich people in China, but the air is so fucking polluted, everybody's breathing that gross shit anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
there we go.
That is true. So go take a trip to China, check it out over there.
And then come back.
And fix this shit.
Yes!
Come back and fix it around.
Fix this shit.
We only got one planet, y'all.
There are no expeditions out to new planets yet.
And I even wouldn't even want that, because we just go out there and fuck it up.
I know, I don't want to get any alien race against us or some shit.
And we need to, like, never come into contact with an alien race, because we would just attack them and try to shoot it first.
It's two options, because if we are smart enough either to go to a planet or an alien race is smart enough to come here, we are either dumb yahoos of the universe and we're going to look like assholes, or we're we're gonna be like fucking we're gonna try the mean scary ones that are killing everybody.
Oh, absolutely. Again, hence like my when I was looking at my family swatting these flies, oh, I just thought I was like, oh my god, like it'd be like if some other race or the creatures
just came down and swatted
and
us.
Swatting us, like it just sort of
I wouldn't blame them. I don't want it to happen.
But no, don't swap.
I don't want it to happen.
We're funny and witty.
Yay. Some of us.
So Alien Race, if you're listening, don't swat at us.
Just swat the White House right now.
That's right. Swat the White House.
He can be our sacrificial lamb. Even though I still feel bad about wishing death on anybody. But whenever I see an alert for politics, I'm always like, did they die? Which is terrible.
You know what? It's okay. I'm not judging you. You're not on trial here.
I know.
Happy Independence Day. Woo! Swat them away.
It's your corner, James. Hey. You're just staring at me.
I was like, maybe Enrique's got a little ditty she wants to sing us. But you did.
I gave you a ditty.
So, keeping in track of our independence from fuckery.
Do, 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 do.
I want to protect my LGBT community, my tribe, my folks.
Yes.
From straight fuckery in the gay bars.
Audio pamphlet.
And I was thinking, it's like, there's no pamphlet for it. But I was like, you know, like you said, audio pamphlet. We're going to create one here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like some of you all are like, well, why would you, James, what the fuck, you know, why would you create something like this? Because here's the thing.
Yes.
Straight guys are coming to gay bars and there is no signs of this slowing down or stopping.
So when you say guys, are you saying in the general sense or men?
General sense. What's the question?
So are you talking about straight men and women or just men?
I'm specifically talking to straight guys.
Interesting.
Men, yeah, specifically okay. For them. And some rules could apply to many, right?
Because straight women have been infiltrated
I'm
for a
starting
while.
With, it's the same thing of like why you say that Black Lives Matter. You start at the base level.
Yeah.
And everything else will get better.
I like that.
So I feel like if I start off by talking about some rules for straight guys, it'll trickle up to some of the straight ladies. They'll benefit from some of these rules and stuff.
Good. I'll play the role of the straight dude.
Okay.
I like touching my dick and drinking beer and looking at titties.
Yeah, awesome. Okay. Cool. Well, welcome to our bar, and I've got some guidelines for you.
Cool.
Just so you feel comfortable and everyone's on the same page.
My best friend from college just came out and, you know, I just, you know.
Well, okay, great. Well, you know, he probably doesn't want to fuck you, but he might. But in case he does...
I was a little afraid of him wanting to fuck me in college, but...
It's not about you.
It's not about my dick.
No, it's not about your dick.
I thought everything's about my dick.
Not everything's about your dick.
Okay.
And are you getting some therapy out here? She's like, I want to play this part!
That's what
I've had to deal with my entire life. It was good.
It's
a little role-playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and of course it's happening, especially I think here in San Francisco, there's so much gentrification that's happening here.
Yes.
And I know that it's also happening in other places. And when I've gone out in like even Portland and Seattle, like you're hearing a lot of stuff about, you know, gay spaces are transforming and they're losing their gayness. You know? And I feel like when I went out with some friends a few times this past weekend in the Castro and she's changed in the last like 2 or 3 years. And it's weird because it's like I don't have a comparison for New York, but I feel like when I go into New York, there's not as many. There's not as many straight guys. The problem is not as epidemic, I feel, that I've experienced in New York as it is in a lot of these other cities.
I have a quick question. Mm-hmm. Do you think it might be because Castro is almost like a Disneyland of like queer culture? So people are more likely to go there for like a
sightseeing? No, I will tell you exactly why they're going to the Castro.
Okay.
I will tell you, there's a few different things. Folks are going to go to the Castro because one, and I don't even like that I'm saying this because you're all going to be like, well, I want this.
Okay.
Drinks are hella cheap in the Castro.
Well, I've already known this because I've been friends with you and
drinks
you've been taking me there.
There is a drink sale somewhere in the Castro any night of the week. There's so much happy hour. And that is the difference too about San Francisco and New York. Because I was telling my cousins, I was like, man, I miss San Francisco. I got drunk for the first time in like months in San Francisco.
Because everything's too expensive in New York.
Exactly. Something about in San Francisco when you're out drinking in the Castro, it's like, we're community. It's the neighborhood. Like, these well drinks, they're super cheap. I'm going to fuck you up.
I know. They give you like three drinks as like a deal.
Like $5. I know. Like, it's a 3 for $5. And like, you know, here's
and it's like clear. And it's like, so clear. Here's a little mixer
little
on top.
Mixer on. Because it's the community. It's like, you know, yeah. We want everyone to celebrate and have a good time every night of the week, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in New York, it's like, you're gay. You've got money. I'm going to gouge you.
Oh, God.
It's a different sort of feeling community. So straights are like, well, I don't need those drinks. They're just.
I'll just go to expensive other place.
They have like a New York, like regular, like $100 like parties and stuff to go to. Like, it's too much. It's like,
wow.
So I think that's one of the things. And also, of course, like the straight ladies are like, I feel so much more comfortable dancing here. And so then the straight guys are like, oh, these straight girls are there too. So I'm going to go.
That ruins it.
It does. Before I get to this guide, and it's interesting because this has happened a lot in San Francisco. And also maybe this is just what happens. Neighborhoods shift and change.
This
and so
is true.
I'm witnessing like just another community being pushed out of their neighborhood.
Right.
Because again, the tech boom rush, gold rush, tech rush is happening. And so you're getting a lot of, again, like I think artists are being pushed out of San Francisco, you know, POCs. And I think even LGBT folks who are not in that industry, it's hard for them to continue to live here. And I think more so in San Francisco, I feel like in New York, a lot of the LGBT people still, I don't know, a lot of people like sometimes are in professions that have a lot of money and they don't have kids. So they have more income to sort of have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in New York, again, there's a lot of projections. I don't have...
Yeah, you don't have, like,
just
raw data.
I'm witnessing, you know? Yeah. This is me just talking
off
the cuff.
Just picking up.
This is San Francisco is more of a, like... It used to be a place where you could just kind of get by.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
Oh, cheaply, yeah. You know, totally. That's the way it used to be. But now it's... That's why you have so many, like, beautiful homes with, like, families living in it. Because it's been passed down when it was bought when it was cheaper.
Yep. So, before I get to my guide for 5 tips for straight guys, if you're going to gay bars, because, again, this is happening, so it's like, let's prepare for this. Instead of me just being like, get out, stay out, that's not going to happen. That's pick and choose your battles, James.
Yeah.
So, if this is what's happening, this is the movement, I want to give you some tools. But first, I have a dream.
Okay, what's your dream?
Again, I'm Dina Lohanning myself at this point.
Oh, I like self-confidence.
I'm going to Dina Lohan myself.
I'm glad that you're equal opportunist Dina Lohan.
Everybody needs a little Dina in their life, even yourself. You know what? And that's going to be another book of mine that I'm going to write. Be your own
like
Dina.
Can it just be you in like a bad blonde wig too?
Like
a Dina wig?
To myself. Yeah. Be your own Dina. How to Dina yourself and those around you that you love.
It is one of those old school like 90s portrait pictures where it's like you.
Yes.
And then you up in a cloud as Dina Lohan.
All right, you're getting in on this.
I like this. I'm Dina Lohan and you're Dina Lohan book.
See, it's amazing. You know what? The world would be a better place if we could all Dina Lohan each other.
It's true. Why are we using Dina Lohan instead of Kris Jenner?
Because I don't know that hoe.
Okay.
I don't know her. She is the Mariah Carey to my Jennifer Lopez, and I don't know her. I know of her, but I don't really know her. I don't.
Point taken.
But I was away on the cruise ship for 2 years. The Kardashians got big. I never got back on the boat, literally.
You
and
know what?
I
like that response.
So,
let's just leave that response.
I don't know that
because it's good.
So my dream is I want to create a place, and I want to create a place, especially starting here in San Francisco. It's called Lady Bar.
Okay.
Or working entitled, right?
Yeah.
So what I want is, I'm going to create this, but I want lady managers.
Okay.
And it'll be male bartenders.
Okay.
And it'll be male go-go dancers.
This is very gender specific, all right.
And it'll be like, because I went to this, I was so inspired. What I want to create is a space where it's flipped. I feel like a lot of times when you're going out to nightclubs, the focus is really on like ladies being sexy ladies.
Mm-hmm.
I like, when you go to a straight club, are there ever like male go-go dancers?
Hell no.
So I want to flip that because I think just that is going to create like a different flipping of the script.
I like
so
that.
So I want like, you know, shirtless, sexy male bartenders. Go-go dancers. There'll be performances where it's like choreographed. It's essentially, it'll be like, take like, you know, what drag queens do, but just put a bunch of guys up there. So it's like, there'll be guys doing like lip sync performances and doing like pirate choreographed dance numbers and
I'm into this.
It's little less, it's not so like Magic Mikey, but it's still just like, it's a space with a lady focus and guys can totally, guys are welcome there. Like everyone is welcome there, but the focus is like, I want it to be a space for ladies to be able to get what they wanted out of gay bars, but to be able to have their own space for it.
Can I be devil's advocate real quick?
Yeah. I love a devil's advocate. I don't.
Okay. So straight ladies tend to not really like a dick swinging around at them. That's why a lot of Chippendales.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Yeah.
Because y'all, not, I'm going to say y'all and not you, okay. But y'all, I see you. You come to the gay bars and like those go-go dancers are up there. They like rush up to them. I can't even get my dollars in.
Because it's safe. I feel like if there's a threat of that dude, and threat, listen to me, but if there's, if there is that idea of it's for them and the guy up there is enjoying them rushing up to it, it takes away the, I don't know why, but it's
here's
weird.
The here's the thing.
There's menace to a straight penis.
But here's what I'm going to do, because I'm going to make this space work. So it's like everyone that I hire, there's going to be, there's going to be workshops and all kinds of stuff, because what the main problem is toxic masculinity.
Right.
So creating a space where everyone who works there is speaking the same language, we're literally going to create this space from the ground up,
which is why
I want lady managers and male bartenders. I'm flipping the script on all of
it. I like a lady manager and a male bartender. I don't know if we need a go-go dance. Maybe a once per week gogs.
We'll see what it goes. This is, I appreciate your input. Thank you. But I'll tell you ladies what you want.
I know that was dismissed. Dismissed. You can go now.
Because I have a dream and I just want to say it. Because I guess I'm basing this off of like when I see the straight ladies in the gay bars.
Yeah.
You're rushing up to all of these things. So it's it's the things that I want to create. I want to flip the script. I want to create a space where it's like there are these go-go dancers and I don't want women go-go dancers. I think it just creates an environment of like for the men who are coming in there that it's like, all right, like I'm going to take a little bit of a back seat.
I get what you're saying, because you're trying to create an environment where it's a straight women can go without the threat of, being humped to death on the dance floor. So you're trying to flip gender reversals.
It's like guys in cages. Like you don't need to go put like, I just want to, I'm creating an ambiance and an atmosphere.
I get it.
And I want some performances for you all that like is not, it's going to be a non-sexualization of ladies, and the decorations are sexualization of like men, and it's just there. I'm literally flipping the script, and you know what? The space isn't going to be for everybody.
That's true.
But I think there is a market for it because, again, just trying to create a space for it.
Okay.
All right. So that's my dream. So moving to my tips for straight guys going to gay bars.
I feel like I pissed you off, did I, with my...
No.
Oh, okay.
Can I move on to the next
segment? Yes, of course.
It's here for time.
Okay.
I spent too much time on that. We got to move on. All right. And I'm making this business no matter what.
Okay.
Tips for straight guys going to gay bars.
Yes.
First, hey dudes. And also, like, pass this along to your straight dude friends. But first, like, as a straight dude, just check in, like, in with yourself, like, hey, do I want to go to this gay bar?
That's a good way.
Just a little check-in. Do I want, don't just go because everybody else is going. Check in with yourself and have an honest conversation. Do I want to go to this gay bar? Am I ready for this? Right?
Okay.
And, you know, again, toxic masculinity that we were talking about. And the answer is like, no, I'm not. Or I'm there's some hesitation of feeling uncomfortable and you don't know that you're going to be able to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, like, it's good to be uncomfortable because you can sit with that. And it's all about how you react and respond to that.
Okay.
It's okay to be uncomfortable. Growth comes from being uncomfortable. But if you're not ready for this, like, it's a great opportunity. Also, go to therapy, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's going to be a conversation of like, hey, man, this weird thing happened. I was thinking about going to this gay bar, and I just didn't feel like I was ready for it. Like, I didn't really want to go because I was feeling like, you know, guys were going to hit on me or whatnot, right?
Okay.
Also, If you're not ready or you're not sure and you're on the fence or whatnot, also like take in other like queer material. Like I feel like if you're gonna go into a different cultural space, gotta learn about it. Right?
Yeah.
So learning about a different person's cultural space. So reading books like The Velvet Rage. So it's a book that I recommend for all LGBT folks to read. Taking in like queer entertainment, like Paris is Burning.
Yeah.
Right? Taking in things that are outside. Again, you're preparing. It's a different culture and it's a different community.
You're
getting
the vocabulary. You're researching.
Doing a little research. And what it's going to do is it's going to allow you to humanize this thing that has been so other. We've been talking about this a lot on the show of learning other people's stories.
Yeah.
Like you're saying, learning other people's vocabulary. Understanding that like it's another environment. It's not just like I can't even put it. I'm like, it's not just dudes fucking dudes, but sometimes it is.
But it's a culture. There's a whole thing around it.
You know, even like going into like research, like if you're broadening your horizons, or you like reading other like queer based news sources, like Queerity.com that I use. There's also Unicorn Booty, which is also another good one, right?
Yeah.
Or looking onto like the Huffington Post as like LGBT voices section, right?
Or Audio Straddle.
Ooh.
That's the lesbian blog.
Them too. AfterEllen.com mm-hmm. is another one.
Mm-hmm.
Documentaries about Stonewall is a great way to start as well, educating yourself about like the history of, you know, the gay bars.
Yes.
So then step two, also look at like who's inviting me.
Yes.
Who's inviting me to this space?
That's a good one, yeah.
And take a look at, like, is it my girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Is it this girl that I'm kind of interested in and want to impress her?
Yeah.
If it's her, probably not the best reason to, like, go, right?
Are people really going on dates? Straight dates?
Here's what's happening. I'm going to set the scene for you.
Sorry.
What happened was, is that I'm in this gay bar, and I'm in Badlands, also known as Sadlands.
I know Badlands.
There is, like, this gaggle of, like, 8 women.
Okay.
And, like, then there's, like, the guys who are hanging out with them who, like, it almost is like an after-work function, right?
At Badlands?
Oh, yeah. And this is a lot of, like, the bars in the Castro that I've been seeing. Like, it's, like, it's, and I'm not, maybe some of them are LGBT, like, it is from the outside looking in, it looks like a lot of straight people.
Yeah.
And the whole entire point that I'm questioning this is because, like, a friend of mine went up to, touch, like, this guy that he was interested in and go
right.
dance with him. And the guy kind of, like, aggressively slapped his hand away.
It's a, what? Okay. All right.
So look at, like, who's inviting me. And it's, like, literally right. if it's, like, you know, 8 of your straight friends and there's, like, 1 gay person, maybe sit this one out, right? Maybe,
yeah.
like, this is not... Because you're also taking up space for people who really want
who the bar is for.
Who the bar is for. And you have to remember that there's a history behind these bars and these spaces that, you know, it was the one... And we talked about this in the last episode,
mm-hmm.
Which also led to, like, why there's a high rise of, like, you know, drinking in the LGBT
yeah.
community. But these were the only spaces that we could go to, like,
right.
be with each other, you know?
Exactly.
So it's like we have very few spaces to go where we don't have to think, is this guy straight? Is this girl straight? Like, and then that sort of fucks with our psyche. There's
right.
there's emotional harm that little hand slap that you do
right.
has that you probably don't even realize the implications for. So that's why it goes back to step one. Are you ready for this?
Exactly.
Because
I love this.
Part of that, like this, so because it goes into my next one. You're gonna get touched and you're gonna get hit on.
Hello.
So if you're not okay with that, then you probably are not ready to go to that space.
Exactly.
And so finding your way to accepting that, hey, I might get hit on. And then the next challenge or the next step for you to figure out for yourself is to how are you going to interact with that?
Mm.
Someone hits on you. What is your way about, you know, responding to it?
Right.
I'm not saying that you need to go there and just let some guy fill up all up on your junk.
No,
right?
It's the same way that you would tell a woman that you're not interested in.
Yep.
It's the same exact shit.
And so you've got to find that way. There's a correct response and an incorrect response. You know, hitting a guy's hand or saying like, dude, I'm not gay or something.
Maybe take yourself to therapy.
Right, yeah.
For saying
right?
that.
Remember, I got into that one bar fight with that
right?
one guy. I got into a bar fight with the guy who he had stolen my beer twice.
Oh my God. Because
I was in a dance. I was in a. When Britney Spears hits the dance floor.
There's no stopping.
And I need both of my hands to dance.
I know, you do.
And this guy, like, he stole both of my 2-for-1 beers that I had.
Good deal.
Because it's the Castro.
Good deal.
And I put 2 and 2 together. I Scooby-Dooed this. And I was like, I think you stole one of my beers. And he's like, you think you're so attractive. I'm not even gay. And then tried to, like, fight me. So there was a lot going on in there.
That guy thought you were very attractive.
Doesn't take a therapist to put that one. Didn't take Freud
no,
for that one.
That was an easy
softball pitch of, like, what's going on with this one. But it's like, I shouldn't have to even be in that situation of
right.
a predicament.
He made the safe space not safe anymore.
And I'm telling you, like, it then makes me second guess things. Like, it makes me not want to, like, oh, I don't want to go talk to that guy. He might
right.
be straight or he might be aggressive towards me. Like,
it takes the safety net that is... and the antithesis of the rest of the world away.
Absolutely. I mean, because this is LGBT persons, it's their space.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's fair for me to assume that everyone is playing for my team there.
It's a fucking gay bar.
That's what it is, right? So you're a guest. So I would say, like, find your way to politely compliment that person first. Because, again, this is their space. You're a guest in their home. So it's all about that landing. How do you stick that
right.
landing? How do you land that plane? You know, just give them a compliment. Like, hey, you're really attractive. Thanks. We can dance a little bit, you know,
yeah.
but just fair warning, you know, not gay, but let's have a dance. Can I buy you a drink?
Hello. It's the easiest thing. I am currently married right now. I still go to bars, and whenever a dude hits on me, I go, I'm married.
Yep.
And it's
You're
done.
You're not like, dude, back fuck the fuck you. Off. Do you not see this ring?
Exactly.
You put a ring on it.
Exactly. So when you go to a gay bar, if you're a straight man, I suggest just pretend you're married.
Yeah.
Have fun, sightsee with the hot dudes.
Yeah.
Dance. And then if somebody hits on you, be flattered. Say thank you.
Yes.
But I'm taken.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's all you have to say.
Can I buy you a drink?
Exactly.
You know, like stick that landing, make it as safe as possible. And because again, you are a guest in that space.
Yes.
And then the next question, what time are you leaving?
Oh.
This is always what time it is that you are leaving. So for bars that close at 2 a.m., my recommendation is you should be gone by midnight.
Yeah, I yes.
Be gone by midnight. You know, maybe even 11:30 to be on the safe side, but be gone by midnight. And because, again, LGBT places are safe spaces for folks to just, you know, get their freak on. And the one thing that I love about, I think, the LGBT community is that it's based on a lot of taking off the shackles from, you know, Puritan, shameful sexual practices,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And just to segue slightly, Dan Savage said this really interesting thing that made me go, huh? Mm-hmm. He said that, you know, there should be a straight pride. And the reason why, look at this, hold on.
Okay.
Correct your gaze.
I'm listening.
Until we hear the full thing.
The gaze is listening.
You know what? It's a guttural reaction. I get it. Because yeah. We have talked so much shit about straight pride
before.
Because
it sounds like a fucking white pride.
Here's the reason why.
Yeah.
Because I think that a straight pride, I don't think that, and he said this, and this is what he was saying, and I'm going to add on a little bit to it. Straight folks don't have an opportunity to celebrate their own sexuality.
Okay.
To celebrate sex and freedom. And a lot of what, you know, pride does, and even like Folsom Street Fair and stuff like that,
yeah.
is a celebration of sexuality, you
right,
know?
Right.
And I think like there should, if that's what y'all want to do and like be able to have that space,
mm-hmm.
again, it goes back to my point before, is we need to have a conversation about toxic masculinity because
right.
we want women to be able to feel safe and yeah. free without like guys being like, I'm gonna squeeze your titties.
Right.
Like you should be able to have your titties out and do whatever it is that you want to do on
right.
a parade float and, you know, roll some ecstasy safely.
You know what? I agree with you. And I think that that's kind of what the function of Carnival was.
Mm.
It was like the big freedom, sexual kind of celebration before Lent. So I think that there needs to be more of a Carnival situation where everybody just gets to be a little bit more free.
Absolutely. I mean, the Greeks had it. Like, I think people get so oppressed.
Yeah.
And I think you need that, like, exploration, that explosion. And mm-hmm. I think, again, if we have those, I think you'll lose a lot of bullshittery.
Yeah.
Know? We'll get some independence from a lot of bullshittery.
It's so true.
I think there'll be, like, less war. I think people just are so pent up. Like, people like sex. They think about it a lot. They want it a lot.
Yes.
And if you can have, it's sort of like the purge, you know, a sexual purge day
just
or something.
Just get it out of the way.
And sometimes it's just fun to dance free and
yeah.
do whatever you want. So, and the reason why I'm saying that, like, so again, like, get out by midnight.
I'm
right?
just going to say, as a straight person
yeah.
who's gone to many a gay club
yeah.
with gay friends,
yeah.
when your friend disappears, it's time for you to go.
And you know what? Maybe there's, like, you're kind of liquored up off these cheap drinks. Don't you want to go some other place and get some nookie, maybe? Like,
yeah.
you're liquored up, ready to go. You should feel pumped because everyone's going to be, like, a lot of people at the bar are probably like, you know, ooh, you're so pretty. So, you know, like, they're like,
yeah.
you know, you should be feeling pumped and jazzed. You can go to your own
go
tribe.
Go away. Don't chase your friend down. Just
Let him,
leave.
Yeah,
send a text.
Because that's the other.
And then leave.
And because that's the other thing, too, is that, like, you know, let this person, like, have their night out because it's, like, you know, now they're feeling guilt and shame of, like, they've let their friend, like,
right.
you know? And the other thing, too, is that, like, I noticed this when I was out this past weekend. There was a lot less, like, shirtless men at these bars and clubs.
Really?
It was, like, me and my friend Edgar.
Nobody want no nips
and, like,
out?
Person. And I think it's because, like, again, not feeling safe enough to do it.
It sucks.
Because I think, like, sorry, but the presence of straight folks, it's sort of, like, it hinders that sexual vibe and energy.
One, don't apologize. It is the truth. Okay?
Because you're like, oh, the straight people are here, and they're perhaps not all, but, you know, there's the free, they're not used to all the freedom that we kind of celebrate a lot in the LGBT
yes.
community. So, yes. And then just some, like, you know, do nots.
Okay.
Some just, like, hard and fast rules of do notting.
Let's give it out.
Like I said, this is what I kind of talked about earlier. Don't roll to the club with your group of eight friends because, you know, the drinks are cheap.
Don't do it.
And that there'll be ladies there and that they're going to be, like, so impressed by you being comfortable enough to be there. Because I know a straight guy who used to on a Tuesday be like, hey, let's go to the Castro. Because he knew that he got all this, like, play from the ladies who were like, because they get drunk after a point. And they're like, oh, I wish there was a straight guy here. And he's like, but I'm straight. It's so cool that you're so comfortable with yourself with being here, right? I was his wingman to the Castro.
That's ridiculous. And ladies, don't reduce yourself to that.
Oh, yeah, you're better than that.
You're better than that.
You're better than that. And then the last one, pretty much, you know, just blend the fuck in. Blend.
Yeah, just enjoy your fucking self.
Yeah. And the reason why, I mean, you know what? Here's the thing. LGBT folks, and I'm not saying this is right, but it's a survival instinct, and we've had to do it for most of our lives. For survival, we blend the fuck in all the time.
Right.
And maybe not all the time, but there are parts in our life where for safety or survival, like, we have to do that. I sometimes feel like I sometimes choose to, in some situations, do that in straight clubs when I'm first in there, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes I just say, fuck it, right? Kind of depends the environment and who I'm with, but there's a safety that comes in with that. So, like, you can do it for an hour or two, and you don't got to stay the entire time.
And I also kind of want to say, blending in for a straight dude, we need to say, just act normal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Don't try and, like, I'm imagining some terrible...
Oh, someone
terrible,
cleaning it up?
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
Okay, good.
I'm just saying, like you're saying, like, just, like, you know, just be there. And be there.
Be a person with people.
And if you can't do, like, any of these, then it goes back to number one, check in, am I ready for this?
Right.
And if you can't do any of these steps, any of these guidelines, like, this is not the space for you. And because, like, especially... there were crazy long lines this past weekend to get into these bars. And I just thought, and like, to have all these, like, when the bars were closing down, it was like, oh, so many of these straight guys, like, coming out.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you're taking up space from someone who, like, that bar is really
for,
you know? And so you don't have to be there. There are other places for you to go. So
many, the rest of the world.
Exactly. So, ladies, all of the above, just a little caveat of, like, just little touchstones. Hey, ladies, all of the above, you can absolutely apply it to yourself.
Definitely.
Straight ladies.
Don't be a dick.
No, and I would say no bachelorette parties, which we talked about.
Yeah.
Mind your numbers. A 1-gay-to-6-lady ratio, not a good ratio.
That's a terrible ratio.
Terrible, right? You shouldn't be outnumbering, and sometimes you see those numbers, it's like...
I just feel sorry for the one friend.
It's just like, I've got all these gaggle of ladies that I have to mind. And, you know, if you and your one lady friend want to start out your night at a gay bar, you know, just to get a little happy hour drink on, like, I say, okay, you know, maybe shoot for a happy hour, right? And be mindful of the numbers again. Like, who is the space for? Who is priority one? When you start seeing, like, oh, it's getting a little crowded, maybe, you know, I should go to a different space.
Right.
You've said this before, ladies, and invitation to the bar, ideal.
That's the only way I go, is if I'm invited.
Leave by midnight.
But I'm also very cognizant. I'm like always like,
I love having you there. It's great and fun. Leave by midnight.
I know when to leave. Usually I think I leave before you want me to leave.
You usually do.
I'm like, I'm tired.
What's happening? And then I want a little caveat too about the for LGBT folks who are listening. Be mindful of the gaggle of straights that you're bringing along with you to the club, because there's other. I know it's all your friends and stuff, but it's like, you know, you're rolling deep with a lot of straight folks, and I kind of just say, I say, you know, I think early on it might be scary for some folks because you're still blossoming into yourself, and you've got, you know, this gaggle of ladies who are your homegirls or whatnot. But when you bring a harem of straight ladies, like, I think.
A harem.
Go see your... What was that? Let's forget the meaning behind the word harem.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I always think, like, a harem is, like, a crew of women.
No. I mean, it is, but for sexual pleasure.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. You're anti-harem of women?
A harem is a prostitution ring, basically. Oh,
so when you bring your prostitution ring, think about what you're setting up for all that, you know? And I also would say this is a good touchstone for your therapist of, like, there's things to tease about that. Like, why do I feel the need to, and I get it, it's for safety, right? It's your friends, you want them there.
I don't know. I think that's my reason that I'm confused about that is because I like going out to places with smaller groups anyways. So I think that's probably why I'm having a hard time.
But I see it. Like, I think that, like, group of, like, 8 people, I think there was, like, one gay amongst their group. And then some of the girls brought their boyfriends. Like, I saw so many, like, girlfriend and boyfriend duos dancing on the dance floor.
Okay, this is a weird thing that I feel. Mm. And I feel like this is a good time to bring this up.
Okay.
And... okay, so you know how there's been, like, especially for Pride Month, there is a lot of, like, the Facebook filters. Like, they'll put, like, a filter over your profile picture.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I saw so many straight couples with the pride flag over their picture, and for some reason, it irked me. I don't know why.
Yeah, I guess, you know, this is the joy of what it is that we get to do, and I don't necessarily have solutions, because it's weird, because I understand what you're saying.
Is that weird for me to be kind of irked?
Or? I kind of feel like, yay. I guess because
it's
sort of
good.
Like, it's sort of, because like, I guess when I went to the New York Pride,
yeah,
my takeaway was that this is like another cultural pride, like it's a cultural like parade, I guess.
Yeah.
And like there was like, you know, oh, I think one of our corner kids posted about this, is that like this straight couple brought their
child to the parade
and to like to wave the flag, so it's always normalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for some reason, I think I love the fact, I love seeing couples at the parade or families at the parade. But I feel like it just feels kind of phony to me when it's just a filter.
Yeah.
But then also, or it's also like going to a gay bar making out with your boyfriend. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like that seems rude to me. It just seems like you're flaunting your privilege in a space that's not, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just working things out.
Like, I mean, I don't want to dictate what people can do.
People should do whatever. This is my own thing.
Yeah. I understand. Like, I see both points of what it is that you're saying. Cause I could like, I see both of it. I do.
Yeah, because I see both too.
Yeah, and it's sort of like they're waving a flag of like, I'm in support.
Yeah.
But I wonder, it's like, for the, like, I'm just using this, like, for the Jamaican, if I put, I'm not Jamaican, but if I, like, switch myself over to being, like, to, like, Jamaican, like, a Jamaican flag filter.
While you're wearing, like, an Uncle Sam hat.
Then that's just me being fucked
but
up.
That's what I kind of feel like a little bit. You see that a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, but I don't know.
So, well, what do you think, Corner Kids? Email in, tweet at us, message us, because what are your thoughts and opinions on it?
Because you could curse me out. I could be totally wrong.
Well, don't curse her out, because it's her, it's just her fucking opinion, okay? It's not what we fucking signed up here for. But that's a good question. So we turn over to you, Corner Kids. We would love some voice memos from you.
Yes, we want some voice memos.
Ask Minority Corner anything. This will turn over to the Corner Kids. What are your thoughts and opinions on all of this sort of that we've been talking about? But I will say, you know, LGBT folks, and I'm including myself in this, also try to be nice to the straight people who are there. But you know what?
What?
Fuck.
Do they really?
Stand,
you don't have to.
Your ground. I was.
You don't have to.
High elbows. I was dancing high elbows. I elbowed a lot of straight people this past weekend.
I'm not mad at it.
They were taking up a lot of space.
I'm just saying, as
take
a straight person.
Take back the club.
Yes.
Whose bars are bars? Whose bars are bars?
There you
go. It's our new chant.
I don't know. I think as a straight woman who, I mean, let's face it, sexuality is a spectrum, but I'm in a straight relationship, a committed relationship, so therefore I identify and benefit from the privileges of being straight.
Pretty and straight.
Oh, shit. Good thing I'm black and a woman.
You're like, just even it out. Just even it out. Yeah, that's true. Everyone's got something.
Okay, so I'm always worried, and I think because I am black and a woman, that I don't want to step on toes, because I know how it feels when my shit gets stepped on. I know how it feels when my space gets invaded, when
Rachel Dolezal shows up and, you know, takes your shit.
Right. So I am very cognizant of not wanting to do that. So I think I try very hard, almost extremely hard.
Almost like you, like, could dial it down a bit.
I know. I probably could dial it down.
I would love for you to dial it down a bit.
Like, maybe I should loosen up on my filters for the Facebook profiles.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah. And, like, come to the club with me and hang out.
I do. And I, you know, I love
She's
it.
She's gone by nine. She's like, I better go. I'm like, it's 9 o'clock.
I'm just tired. I gotta go to bed. But by 9 o'clock, I just walk in, walk out.
She's like, oh, got you.
Here's my drink.
I'm
bye.
Out. Get your one compliment. She gets like 10.
You know what?
They love you.
I know how to cut a rug.
She does.
But I just think because of that, I am constantly just wanting to make sure everybody feels safe and welcomed. And I feel like if every straight person who goes into a gay bar has a little bit of that in there, it will be fine. Just be nice. Have fun. People want to talk to people and have a drink. That's literally all it is. Yep. And if your butt gets touched, take it as a fucking compliment. If it is groped, maybe move to the other side of the bar, but politely just be like, no, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Yeah, I have nothing to add. I think our straight lady correspondent, Aneka, just summed it up very well. So you heard it from once. It's not just shit that this gay man's making up. You heard it from a straight person, one of your own. So there it is. Take back the club. Whose bars? Our bars. But ours.
Not mine. Well, it's been a journey.
See you next week. I'm exhausted. We didn't talk about all the things.
We did.
I mean, there's nothing left. What left is to be said?
Twitter, Minority Corner.
Oh, that's what's left.
With a K. Mm-hmm. Facebook page, Corner Kids page.
Get involved in that conversation. We turn it over to you.
Yes.
And ask you some questions.
Because we did the work today.
Yeah. So what is the answers? We don't know. We're just having a conversation. Are there answers?
I don't know.
Do you know? Do you know, Corner Kids? Do you? That was a quote from, do you know what that is a quote from?
No.
Oh, it's Whitney Houston with Diane Sawyer.
Oh, yeah. Show me the receipts.
Do you know Diane?
Do you?
Do you know Diane? Do you? I don't know. Do you? Yeah, she was high as a kite. Love you, Whitney.
Bye. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston.
You're saying goodbye to the kids.
Oh, I thought I was too.
Oh, are we?
Okay. I don't know.
All right. Sometimes it's so hard to let you go.
Yeah.
Say goodbye, my love. I don't know. Isn't there a song
that felt good. I don't know. That sounds like a new song.
Well, goodbye, everybody. I love you. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston. Happy Independence Day from fuckery.
Bye.
Hello, Amita Patel.
Hello, Sean David Johnson. What's going on?
I think a friend of mine may have chronic pop culture deficiency syndrome.
Oh no, PCDS? What are the symptoms?
Well, she doesn't know Wakanda from Westeros.
Shameful.
And she keeps confusing Aziz Ansari and Riz Ahmed.
Oh my gosh, so sad. Kinda racist too, but what did you tell her to do?
I told her to listen to our podcast, Inside Pop, of course.
Fantastic idea. A weekly dose of Inside Pop will help anyone discover the best in TV, film, and music.
Suffer from PCDS no more.
Inside Pop has you covered every Wednesday on Max Fun.
How many times has this happened to you?
Oh man, if only I knew whether it was better to be too hot or too cold, or who the best James Bond was, that girl would have gone out with me.
Now you can with We Got This with Mark and Hal, the podcast from MaximumFun.org every Tuesday.
Hey, Lois, it's Joey. The best James Bond was Daniel Craig, and it's better to be too cold than too hot. Thanks, We Got This with Mark and Hal.
Only on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get fine podcasts.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.